The gospel reading is found in Luke chapter 13, beginning at the 31st verse. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Gospels tell us that the moment Jesus began his public ministry, he ran into opposition. Last Sunday, we read from Luke's fourth chapter the story of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness, where Satan tries to turn Jesus away from accomplishing his mission by tempting him to follow an easier way, avoiding suffering and death. Satan was unsuccessful, but then it says in the text that Satan would be back at an opportune time. Well, in today's lesson, Satan is back. The Pharisees have come to warn Jesus that Herod, the ruler who had imprisoned John the Baptist and put him to death, now threatened to kill Jesus. But what is peculiar about this warning is that the Pharisees have not been Jesus' best friends up to this point in the gospel story. They've been among the most antagonistic. They seemed threatened by Jesus' proclamation of God's kingdom, in which the first will be last. So why suddenly are these particular Pharisees so concerned about Jesus' safety? We might conclude that either Jesus had finally run into some kinder and gentler Pharisees, or something else was going on. And I think it was that something else was going on, something more devious, another temptation of Satan. Quite obviously, the Pharisees were in cahoots with Herod and hoped to drive Jesus out of Herod's jurisdiction into the arms of Pilate, who was one step above Herod's authority. It was a political move. It would be like a state governor in our day passing on responsibility to federal authorities. So we're not really sure about the motives of those Pharisees who warned Jesus of Herod's threat to kill him. But what is clear is that Jesus responds to their outwardly friendly warning as if it were a political setup. "Go and tell that fox for me," he says, revealing that he knows these Pharisees are in cahoots with the conniving, calculating Herod. Jesus lets the Pharisees and Herod know that he is not politically naive. He knows what's going on. He's fully aware that the kingdom he proclaims and is enacting by casting out demons and performing cures, especially among the poor and neglected, is an affront to the powers that be. But Jesus doesn't care to turn away. He doesn't turn back. He informs his opponents that he will go all the way to the top, if he needs to the capital city of Jerusalem. Jesus makes it clear that the politics of his kingdom will not stop, as it would in our day perhaps, at City Hall in Hackensack or at the State House in Trenton. He will go all the way to the steps of Congress and to the White House. He does not imagine that Jerusalem, or Washington for that matter, will placidly welcome him. Jerusalem is the city that kills the prophets and murders those who are sent to it. Those who hold political power or seek it do not always embrace Christian values. Those in politics are not always our friends. Pope Francis caused a bit of a ruckus on his visit to Mexico last week when he spoke about Christian values and political power. We might have some foxes running for offices in our country, but that's politics. And none of us here are above being political. We have office politics where we compete with others in the workplace to get ahead of them. We have church politics when we do things to get our way. We don't always act for the common good. The crowds that followed Jesus and wanted to make him their king always posed a threat to Roman politicians and the religious establishment. Jesus made friends with tax collectors and sinners, whom the Pharisees shunned. Jesus told parables that were a little hard to figure out sometimes, but often the religious leaders were put in a bad light. And the closer that Jesus came to Jerusalem and the temple, the more threatened the Pharisees felt and those in power. It was bad enough that Jesus caused such a ruckus and gained such a strong following in the countryside up north, in the fishing villages of Galilee. But they could ill afford to have Jesus come to Jerusalem, within the perimeter of the temple, their holy place. So they warned Jesus, better stay away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Maybe they were more worried about the harm that Jesus would cause them than the threat of Herod. But Jesus refused to live in fear of Herod or of the Pharisees. There was no turning back. In defiance of Herod's threats, Jesus keeps on casting out demons and healing the sick and determines to finish his work. No threat of Herod or the reputation of Jerusalem as a killer of the prophets would stop him. No turning back. Calling Herod a fox, a rather demeaning name, I suppose, and recalling Jesus' Jerusalem's reputation, could easily have tempted Jesus to take vengeance against those who held political power, or those who were in the religious establishment. But instead, Jesus turns his anger against Jerusalem into a motherly lament. He tells the people that he is like a mother hen, desiring to gather her chicks under the safety of her wings. At these words, Jesus' hearers likely heard echoes of the Old Testament that referenced the God of Israel, as the one under whose wings you come for refuge. Jesus never stops trying to reach out with mercy, even to those who are most opposed to him and most antagonistic. He never stops lamenting over the lost chicks out there who he wants to have come under his protective wings. And if we would be followers of Jesus, what we should want more than anything else is to help people to hear the gracious invitation of Jesus, not to condemn them, however much we might disagree with them. We often complain about people who don't respond to the gospel. They're apathetic. They're antagonistic to the church. In our secular culture, we perceive that a lot of people out there are our adversaries. But when people outside the church see us or hear us, do they more often hear our complaints about how bad the world is, how bad the media is, how bad the government is, or whoever seems to be against us? Or do they hear and see in us the gospel? Lent is a time to redouble our determination to follow Jesus, to accept his unconditional love, not just for ourselves, but for others. We need to repent of our tendencies to chase people away by our attitudes, by looking down on others. We need to make sure that the message of the gospel is heard and seen by our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our families. Jesus was met by opposition to his gospel, but he never turned back. He never turned away. Try as we might, most of us will not walk so single-mindedly, but we can resolve ourselves to keep the words of the old camp song in mind: no turning back, no turning back. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.